We got a lot of people in the hospital, so be sure and pray for them. Send them a card if you can. Let them know you're thinking about them, because it gets lonely in that room sometimes when you're there. And sometimes you don't feel like anybody's thinking about you. And we need to let people know we're thinking about them. One good way is to send a card or call or visit if you can. But sometimes these other ways are a little bit better. We have enjoyed being here at Tanner. And I guess I'm going to say this Sunday and next Sunday. Robert and I are talking about who's going to preach the first New Year's sermon. So whatever. We may both get up and just preach for 2 hours. What about that? You say, we're getting rid of you. We'll get rid of him too. No. We wouldn't do that. We're smart enough. No, we're not real smart, but we're smart enough to know that won't fly. It's just good to have you here. And if you're visiting with us, this is a great place to be. People love each other and care for each other, and we want to try to show it. Now, we're going to look at a little bit different lesson today. And if you want to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2, those first 7 verses there, we're going to look at them, and then we're going to look at some more of that chapter. Paul was writing a letter to Timothy. He was in a Roman prison. He was thinking he would never get out of that prison. He thought he would die there. So here he is in jail, in handcuffs, we might say, and he doesn't know if he's going to live or die. So he's writing to Timothy, who is talking, at this time he's working with a church at Ephesus, dealing with problems and difficulties, and Timothy is feeling the weight of it all. Sometimes we don't realize the weight that is on the evangelist and on the elders of a congregation because of the problems and the difficulties that they deal with. That's the reason that they need to know about how to handle a problem and how to deal with a problem, because you're going to have those things. So how do you deal with that? How do you handle it? You want to handle it in such a way as it will help the church and help God's people and not hurt anybody. And sometimes that's a very difficult thing to do. But here Paul is trying to say to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to know how important it is that you be the right kind of person, that you live the right kind of life. And he tells Timothy something that I think is applicable to all of us. He's trying to give him some illustrations to help him to understand what it is to be a child of God. And sometimes you say, well, you know, a person is like this, kind of like the young man who was had asked, he was blind, he was asking some other blind people, what does an elephant look like? And so what they did is these people were going around feeling different parts of the elephant. And somebody grabbed his tail and said, he's long and slender like a snake. Somebody grabbed his leg and said, it's like a tree trunk. It's just that big. And another got his nose and said, I don't know what it is, but it keeps wiggling. And according to what they saw, they gave their opinion on that. Now, Paul does this to Timothy because he wants Timothy to know how he should conduct himself, but not only how he should conduct himself, Timothy is teaching other people these things too, and he wants them to understand that. I think Paul was smart enough to know that the letter that he sent was not going to be just to Timothy, but it was going to be one that was going to be spread to other people. All right, now, what we want to do is ask this question. How do we see ourselves as believers? How do you see your responsibility as a believer? I think that's something we may not have emphasized as much as we need to in the church. And so we need to do that even more. And I want us to see this. Now, look at this first point here. Paul said, Timothy, I want you to understand that you need to be the kind of believer. It's kind of like sons. Now, this was something that was very intimate with Paul. In fact, in this very passage in verse 1, Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith, his son. Now, Paul had preached and taught, and it seems that maybe Timothy had heard that gospel sermon, and he had obeyed the preaching of Paul. He had obeyed the teaching of Paul. And so Paul felt a longing to help him, and they had worked together and continue to work together. We have 1 and 2 Timothy and other times that Paul had written about Timothy and about the work that he was doing, encouraging him and encouraging others. That's what Paul wants to do because he sees him as a son. Do you see yourself as a son of God? Do you see yourself as a child of God? And that God loves you and cares for you, and he's trying to do the best for you. He's trying to show you the best way to go. He's trying to lead you in such a way that it will not, that you won't be hurt, that you'll be made stronger, that you'll be made greater. Now, Paul emphasizes to Timothy, as we've seen before in Timothy, where he said, you know, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructing a person in what is righteousness. He's saying the Word of God is the thing you need to build your faith on. We don't build our faith on other people. We look at them as though they are people who can help us and teach us the way to go, but we build our faith on the solid foundation of the Word of God. Any man can fall. I don't care who they are. So put your trust in God. Put your dependence upon God and follow. Now, we talked about discipleship a little bit, and while I was looking at this lesson, I thought, well, this has got a little bit to do with discipleship, but I don't know how you're going to pass that. Because all this is discipleship. All this is learning how to be a person who is following God. And we can see that this birth that we're talking about, this idea of being a son, hadn't got anything to do with physical birth. In John 3, Jesus was trying to help Nicodemus to understand about this spiritual birth. And he said, you've got to be born again. Nicodemus said, can I enter back into my mother's womb and be born again? He said, that doesn't make any sense. He said, you're thinking about the physical. Think about the spiritual. Think about the spiritual when you are made alive again. We are lowered into a watery grave and we arise out of that watery grave as a new person. And in biblical times, many times they would even change a person's name and say, this is somebody else. Remember a fellow named Saul? Anybody know what his name was later? Paul. They changed his name. They changed it because he's a different person. Maybe that's what we need to do in the church. When a person is baptized, we change their name to another name so that they'll realize they're a totally different person because they're living in a different way. So here Paul is trying to help Timothy to understand these things because Timothy needs to understand what it is to be Paul's son, but also what it is to be God's son, God's child, because that's what we are. We're, as we said, lowered into the water of grave. We arise to walk a new kind of life because we've got a new master. It's Jesus Christ. We've got a new person that we're following. It's God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Those three, we're going to listen to what they have to say. We're going to follow them and do what they have to say. But then secondly, look at this. We, as those that are believers, we need to be people who understand the idea of teaching others. Now, in verse 2 it says, these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, you've heard this and other people can attest to this, what I'm saying is true, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He said, Timothy, I know you've got that word. I know it's a part of your life, but listen, tell other people about it. Let other people know about it. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be kept secret. The gospel is not one of those things. The gospel needs to be spread and taught to everybody. It's not something that we need to take and we take the gospel of Jesus Christ and we go off and hide in a cave somewhere. Jesus told people, you go back to your village and you teach those people. You tell them what happened here. You tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You tell them about the good news. And so here he's telling Timothy, Timothy, you're a teacher. Do you see yourself as a teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ? As a person that's spreading the word of God to other people? That's what we're supposed to do. The whole idea of this is that we take this gospel that we have learned and we teach other people this gospel. We help them to see it. And I'm going to tell you something. Once you teach it and you start teaching it, you grow more in the faith than people that you're teaching because you're studying more. You're finding out more what God's Word has to say. And you're gaining that ability to teach others. Some may say, I can't do that. I can't teach other people. I can't teach other people the gospel. Let me tell you something. If you believe it enough, you'll teach it to others. Now, you may not be as good as some people are, but you can be as good as you are. So we need to be teachers. Believers are to be those people that are to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to just sit and learn it and learn it and learn it, and we don't do anything about it. We need to learn the gospel, and then we need to teach the gospel to other people. We need to be those people that spread that word there. And here we have this great foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to tell each other. And it's good news. Now, let me ask you, if you had a cure for cancer and you knew how to cure cancer, but you wouldn't tell anybody about it, what would people say about you if they ever found out about it? How terrible that is. How awful. Look at all the people that have had the suffering and the heartache and the hurt because of cancer, and you knew how to cure it, but you wouldn't do anything about it. You're not the right kind of person. Wonder how God looks at us when we've got the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to tell other people what to do to become a Christian, but we don't teach them. We don't say anything about it. Oh, we may have valid reasons to us. They might not like it. I might lose a friend. They might treat me in a bad way. All those things. And some of that's true. But you're giving them the best thing in the world. You know, it's kind of like a person. The bridge is out down here, and you know it's out, and you're standing in the middle of the road going, stop, 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 knowing that car could run over me. I could get hit. They won't listen. So just let them go. We can't do that. We have to warn the wicked man of his wicked way so that he can change. And if we don't, then his blood's on our hands. We haven't taught him. We haven't helped him to see the gospel of Jesus Christ and how powerful and how wonderful it is. So we need to spread that gospel. We need to help people to understand that. Paul knew that Timothy understood that this was the inspired word of God, that this was the word of God that had the power to change the eternal destiny of people who heard it, who believed it, and who obeyed it. He knew that. And he knew that it had the power to change people. Do you really believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to change the lives of other people? If you did, you'd teach it to them. If you did, you'd teach it to your children. You'd teach it to your grandchildren. You'd teach it to everybody. Because you're trying to get them in the best way. You're trying to teach them the best thing so that they can know how to live their lives. Now, look at this third thing here. We need to see a believer as a soldier. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one that is engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. That, the reason, he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. He's saying, look at this illustration of a soldier. A soldier's not worried about who's going to be elected to a political office. He's got his hands full defending the nation. How wonderful it is that we recognize the power of a soldier. I was over at my favorite eating place in Huntsville, Sam's. Now don't lie. If you've never eaten one of those hot dogs, you just don't know how life is. It's wonderful. I carry people over there. Lynn told me one day, said, you did not carry that person to Sam's. I said, yes, I did, and they liked the hot dogs too. But I was sitting there eating my hot dog, and I looked over. There was one of those soldiers that had those kind of a, the camouflage is not as green as it used to be. And there was two soldiers there eating pizza. Two little kids came up and shook their hand. They shook their hand. Because they recognize these are soldiers. They're defending us. They're protecting us. They're watching over us. And I thought, man, that is fabulous. That's great. That we've got little children that know to respect those soldiers and respect them in a great way. That's what we do. These soldiers are people who are serving, and they're putting their lives on the line. They're suffering a great deal to be a soldier. We see soldiers that are gone sometimes for 3 months, 6 months, a year. Some have been even 2 years or more. And they had to leave their families. Some of them had babies born and they weren't even there. Hadn't seen them when the child's a year old. We say, oh, that's hard. Let me tell you something. Being a soldier of Christ is not easy. It's hard. Because it's things that you've got to do that maybe you normally wouldn't want to do. Maybe that teaching part may be a part of it. But you can't get yourself so involved in this world and the things of this world that you don't remember what it is to be a child of God. And you're a soldier and you're fighting in an army against the principalities and the powers of the devil. And you're going to win too. You don't fight as one that beats the air, but you fight as one that's making every blow count. Because you recognize how wonderful it is and how great it is to be a soldier. That you're going to be there and you're going to be engaged in what you're trying to do. You're going to be involved in that. And you're going to be using yourself. And you know, some soldiers even sacrifice their own lives for others. They sacrifice their own lives. Why? Because they're soldiers. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what they're taught to do. We need to understand that. Soldiers think of others. They don't think of themselves. They'll sacrifice, as we have already mentioned, their own selves. Because of others, they're willing to do that. So we've got to be a good soldier. We've got to wear the armor of God. We've got to carry this sword of the Spirit. That helmet of salvation. That breastplate of righteousness. We've got to have that armor on because we're ready to fight the devil. We're not trying to fight any government. We're not trying to fight any individual. The person we're trying to fight, excuse me, is the devil. And we know that we're going to overcome. Oh, he's going to win some battles. But we know the victory is ours. Because that's what God has said within his word. Now, we as those people that are the believers, we need to be those people that are like athletes. This is a favorite thing of Paul. Paul used this several times, the idea of a Christian as an athlete. And in this passage, he says here in verse 5, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he completes according to the rules. He said, I want you to know that every athlete that runs in this race of Christianity is going to receive a reward. They're not going to miss anything. They're going to receive a great reward. Remember the disciples of Jesus Christ, the apostles, when they went to Jesus and they said to Jesus, listen, we gave up houses, we gave up land, we gave up fathers and mothers, we gave up a great profession to be able to follow you. What's our reward? He said, you have a reward now and you have a reward in heaven. And it's a great reward. Even in the midst of suffering today, we are rewarded. Mick talked about that this morning in the Bible class. If you miss on that Bible class, you need to be here for it. He talked about suffering. Going to be talking about other problems that we have to deal with in life. We're going to have to deal with problems. Learn how to do it. Learn how to overcome those things. So here these athletes are. They're willing to do whatever they've got to do to win the race. You see some of these athletes, and I told my son one day, I said, I think I'm going to run one of those 25-mile things. He said, you need to stay at home, Daddy. I said, it's not going. I said, well, couldn't I start next week? He said, you got to start a year in advance getting ready for that. I said, a year? He said, yes. I said, I know I don't want to run no race now. Not that long, but it takes dedication to do that. You have to eat the right things. You have to get your sleep right. You have to do all those things of building up to be able to do that. Paul said, listen, you need to be an athlete. And you need to keep running in this. You don't need to give up. He talked about athletes as, he talked about wrestling as a person that's a child of God. But he also talked about the boxing, as we mentioned a while ago. He talked about running. He talked about all those things of exercising. He wanted Christians to know this is a job. This is a work. You've got to be dedicated to it. If an athlete is not dedicated, they're not going to be that good very long. Even with abilities, if they don't use and work on those abilities, they're not going to have it very long. We need to learn to be able to be the right kind of athlete. We need to learn to be able to use what we have in the kingdom of God. Use it in such a way it is it will help other people. Today, athletes want to take shortcuts. Lance Armstrong, do I need to say anything else? One who had ridden a bicycle, won all these Tour de France's, several of them, 7, 10, I can't remember how many. And I looked up last night on the computer about the winners of that. Do you know what's where he, the years he won? It's just blank. They took all that away. Why? Because he was using some kind of drugs, some, I don't know what. He was using those things. He was taking a shortcut. But look what happened. He took the shortcut and he lost it all. His name today, if you mention Lance Armstrong, most people go, ooh. Why? Because he cheated. He cheated, and because of his cheating, he's lost everything. And he may lose a lot more because several people have got lawsuits up against him now. He became very rich with this. But he was also someone who was brought very low and may go even lower because of it. I think what Paul is saying here is you need to be those people that you're going to teach the truth and you're going to help the truth to be there. And you don't compromise in it. You don't take shortcuts in it. But you just go straight ahead and you do what needs to be done. You don't quit. Now that's what we're supposed to do. That's the kind of person we're supposed to be. As God's people. That athlete that has worked and prepared some for their whole life. I know Huntsville has a good swimming team. And you see those young people over there that are 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and they're all in that pool learning how to swim, the best ways to do it. Those athletes are going to the batting cages, learning how to bat. They're learning how to do all those things. The reason they want to learn how to do that is because they can be better at it. And they can be better at it. But if you don't prepare, you're not going to be that athlete. You're not going to be that athlete that's going to win. You're going to be the athlete that they say he can't do it. Now, what we have done is looked at a few things about what to do to become a good believer in Christ. We need to look at how to be a believer. We need to look at how to be a person that is the child of God. And look at the different aspects of it. That's what Paul was trying to say here. He wanted people to see, look at all this. And you got to be like an athlete. You got to work that hard. You got to be dedicated to it. You got to be one that wants to teach it other people. You got to be one that wants to help other people. You got to realize that you are a child of God. And see, all these things can help us to be able to win the race. To be able to win the race and bring others with us. And that's really what we're talking about. Showing people what Christianity is all about. Not just telling them about it. That's a part of it. But we're showing them by the way we live our lives. We studied about discipleship the last quarter. Discipleship was those people that were following others. Who are you following today? Is there an individual sitting here today that you said, listen, I'm going to try to be a Christian like they are? It'd surprise you at how many people are doing that. And they're following you as an example. That's the reason you need to be as dedicated as you can be. You need to show them the way. You need to help them to understand how to live their lives. But not only that, do you realize that you're a child of God wherever you go? That whatever you do, people are going to say, that's a Christian. That's how a Christian lives. How are we doing that? How are we living? Are we conducting ourselves in the right way? Are we showing ourselves as those that are God's people, that are believers, and we really, really believe? Not that we just think it's the best way, but we really believe in that. I want to plead with you today to look at your life. I want to plead with you today to look at the soul that you have. Are you a believer? Do you really realize what that is? What the commitment is in that. If you're not a believer, become one today. Maybe if you're a believer and you hadn't obeyed the will of Christ, why don't you do that? Everything is prepared. You must bring your heart and your life. We have physical water that will help you to be a better spiritual person as a believer, as one that's turned from their sins. Please, be willing to come today as we stand and as we sing.